Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. One of the more unique partnerships out to expand diversity on the tube is underway, the Latinx List. Three organizations are involved. Hulu is one of them. Key players from the other two join me next in an internet radio exclusive. National Association of Latino Independent Producers Executive Director Ben Lopez and the Blacklist founder and chief executive Franklin Leonard. A new take on living large comes to Localish Sunday, Plus Life. Executive producers Brent Zaki and Mike Spear have the detail in our next half hour. And ABC's game show Hot Streak continues this summer with Don't, where what you don't do counts more than what you do. We'll connect with executive producer David Goldberg after the top of the next hour. Also ahead, Colin's Disney breakthrough and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 94 hot degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and after the 4th of July holiday weekend, we welcome you on this Monday to the program All About Television. Nice to have you aboard. We're an hour earlier than usual, and I think you will understand why, particularly after you hear our very special first segment. We have a bunch of great guests here for you, and we invite you to be interactive with them and with us. All it takes, a phone call from you. So make it happen at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about the phone, no problem with us, because we got our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you and with us. Ben Lopez from NALIP and Franklin Leonard from The Blacklist join me exclusively from Los Angeles after these news notes. Whether or not Colin Kaepernick returns to play in the National Football League now has a future as a TV content impresario. Kaepernick has launched his own production venture, Raw Vision Media, and off the bat, he has Walt Disney getting first dibs on its output. Up first, an ESPN documentary miniseries on Kaepernick's NFL career and civil rights advocacy. In his statement, Kaepernick calls Raw Vision a place for scripted and unscripted series elevating African-American and Latino storytellers. More Disney developments. This weekend's debut of Hamilton on Disney Plus provoked more than 513,000 app downloads worldwide and about 266,000 in the U.S. alone. Critics are overwhelmingly elated and united with raves over the presentation, originally set for theatrical release and canceled due to the coronavirus circumstances. Now some quickies before our first guest. Game composer Ennio Morricone has died at age 91. His television work includes scores for the miniseries Moses the Lawgiver, starring Burt Lancaster and Marco Polo. A second miniseries of Vienna Blood is in the works for PBS. Also, on July 20th, PBS will begin season 33 of its award-winning documentary showcase, POV. Dead to Me will get one more final season on Netflix next year, and Liz Phelman, the creator of that series, now has a program development deal with that programmer. Stargirl is getting a second season only on the CW, no season 2 on DC Universe. Imagine Entertainment and Warner Music Group will collaborate on a series of musical productions on television and other places. And what if Christopher Columbus never set foot in America? Mr. Robot Maker Anonymous Content will explore that alternative history path in Civilizations, a scripted undertaking in multiple languages based on a best-selling novel. And that is news notes for today. If you've been listening to this program over the years, you know that we've been showcasing a lot of ventures out to expand diversity on television. And one of the latest is a very neat collaboration called the Latinx List. It involves Hulu. It involves the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, which had their annual summit virtually last week, and involves maybe one of the most interesting forces around in terms of getting new writing talent in television movies, The Blacklist, which has been doing a number of these projects over the last 2 years. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive to talk about this Latinx project, the executive director of NALIP, Ben Lopez. Ben, it is great to have you.
Thank you for having us. And I also wanted to make sure we added, there's a couple more organizations, three more organizations are also part of this partnership, entitled Latinx Project, Latin Tracking Board, and Remezcla.
All right, we will talk about their role as we go along. And also with Ben and myself is somebody we have wanted to have on this program for a very long time. I personally admire what he has been doing in terms of getting new writing talent for television aboard. He put together The Blacklist, which has given us some of the best screenplays for some of the best movies in recent years. Some of them have gone on to win the Oscar for Best Picture, like The King's Speech and Argo. And over the last 2 years, he has put together a series of projects with people like Macro, Women in Film's L.A. Chapter, GLAAD, TAPE, the Coalition of Asian Pacific Entertainment, Indigenous Peoples, and more, again, to expand diversity on television. It is a pleasure to welcome to this program for the first time the founder and overseer of The Blacklist, Franklin Leonard. Franklin, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
It is a pleasure. Ben, we'll start with you. How long has this project been in the works for?
Well, I want to say this is the second year. This is the permutation on the television side of things. We had partnered with Franklin and several other organizations to put together the feature list that was really quite a hit last year, and it really helped to launch a lot of the careers and get a lot more spotlight on those folks that were selected, a lot of those finalists. So it just made sense. It was a no-brainer to put together all these groups, and I really appreciate Franklin's leadership and Kate Hagen at The Blacklist to say, hey, listen, this is probably the best time that we can launch the second edition of this, focusing on television, because it is the golden age of television, and I think it is really important to showcase the next generation of writers that are going to hopefully be showrunners in the next few years. So happy to be part of this.
Mm-hmm. Franklin, is this the first time that your organization has worked with a programming service like Hulu?
It's not, actually. We've had partnerships with other film studios and television organizations to identify writers of all sorts. But this is definitely the first one that has been pegged to one of these lists that we have put together that specifically focuses on diversity explicitly.
Mm-hmm. Staying with you, Franklin, how do you put these lists together? How many people apply to be on a list like this? And then how do you determine who gets on the list?
Yeah, so each one varies depending on who our partners are and what they're trying to sort of get to as a sort of, solving a business problem. In this case, anybody who's hosting the script on The Blacklist can, for no additional cost, sort of, say, hey, I would like to be considered for this opportunity. I meet the requirements. At the end of the opt-in period, which is typically 2 to 3 months, we take a look at every writer that has opted in a script. We look at all the data associated with their scripts that they have hosted. And then we pass along a short list to our creative partners. In this case, it was Nali Bramestla and the Untitled Tracking Board and the Untitled Latinx Project. And then they, as a group, sort of get together and figure out which scripts that we shared and vouch for the quality of. Do they vouch for, these are things that we as a community want to see in the world. And so then the combination of those two things usually results in the final list that is publicized. From there, in this case, Hulu will, review all of the scripts, meet with all of the writers as they've committed to do, and then the expectation is that they'll offer, two guild minimum blind or a guild minimum blind deal to each of two writers or writing teams.
Ben, with this particular list, Latinx, did you have any say in terms of suggesting writers for the list among your membership, or ideas in terms of what kind of scripts or what kind of genres are covered in the list?
Yeah,
I think for us,
go ahead, Ben. My bad. I wasn't sure which direction I was going. I did not have any specific input into the writers that were chosen. For me, it really is about the data and which scripts are getting the best response on our website. And the genres, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, and you can speak to this better than I could, we're all over the map, as I recall.
Right. I think that the one focus, obviously, we did mention, for us, it was really important to really focus on U.S. Latinx folks, folks that have been either born, raised, or experienced that spectrum of Latinx experience. And we wanted to make sure that it was open to all the genres, making sure that people got really to see their voices in this specific pilot. And as far as like us having a say, you know, we encourage a wide spectrum of folks to apply. In fact, we actually even extended the deadline because we felt that we really needed to hear from the entire community. We wanted to make sure they didn't miss out. And so we did we doubled our efforts in outreach, trying to get folks that maybe didn't hear about each of these organizations that were put together. I want to say that Tanya Saracho and Gloria Calderon, current showrunners on television, they were very instrumental in also making sure that writers that maybe haven't gotten a lot of foot track in Hollywood and entertainment, they made sure they really, especially with the Untitled Latinx Project, to make sure they amplify the message, and they really recruited a lot of, especially Latinx women, to apply for this.
We are talking about the Latinx List. It is the latest project from the Blacklist, and it's got a wide range of people involved, including the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, which had their first ever virtual summit last week, and Hulu, and a number of other players as well. We've got the executive director of NALAP, Ben Lopez, and the head of the Blacklist, Franklin Leonard. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Abba, I'm with you live from Nueva York. Here with you an hour earlier than usual. We're always on, usually on 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Mondays and Fridays, and other days too. And we invite you to be involved in the conversation. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a tale of two female directors coming your way a week from Monday on this program. First up, we'll have the person that kicked off Cursed, the brand new Netflix series from the mind of Frank Miller. She did the first two episodes. Her name is Zetra Fuentes, and you will meet her on our program. Also, joining us for the second time is somebody that, when we first had her on several years ago, she was making the transition from acting to directing. One of her first assignments at the time, the PBS Civil War hospital drama Mercy Street. She's come a long way since then. Now she's doing episodes of This Is Us on NBC and just got critical acclaim for an episode of Showtime's Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. You know her better as one of the co-stars of Star Trek Voyager. Roxanne Dawson is back with us. That's 1 week from today with Zetra Fuentes from Cursed on Netflix. Two female directors, female directors of color, I believe, and you'll see that, you'll hear them next week right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time, on Tomorrow will be televised. Franklin, how has this relationship been compared to some of the other ones that you and your organization have fostered with these lists over the last couple of years?
You know, I think that there's a general enthusiasm and an excitement, I think, within a lot of communities that have historically been underrepresented on in our media to try to rectify those changes. And I think that this relationship has really reflected that broader enthusiasm that exists in all of these communities. But I will say, and it's been rather remarkable, and you know, Ben already mentioned Tanya and Gloria, but the number of submissions that we got, I think it was right at or almost over 700, for an opportunity like this is quite unusual. And I think it reflects both the interest within the Latinx community to be creating television content, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but also the amount of talent that exists there. You know, the industry goes a long way and says, oh, well, we would love to make this content, but where are the people that can do it? The people are there. The industry has just historically done a bad job of finding them. And so I'm really excited about the extent to which the community has sort of come together, and we can be a help to that to really make that case. Hey, there are a bunch of talented people here that want to tell these stories. You should probably be hiring them.
Ben, what's been the reaction? This was announced at the virtual summit. What's been the reaction from your membership to what you're doing with Latinx List?
The reaction was tremendous. I think a lot of people are really encouraged. The fact that all these different, the all-star organizations coming together and obviously working very closely with Franklin and Kate Hagan. I think in addition to that, the fact that there's actually a potential deal at the end of this process, people were really capture their imaginations, being able to see, will some of these projects actually pilots have a chance to actually be made? And that's extremely empowering for our community. And so one of the things is that for us, we think that this is going to be one of many. We hope that a lot of the studios, a lot of the different production companies that really are prioritizing people of color, the Latinx community, in making sure that there's more voices out there that really represent our experience are really out there. And in addition to that, the fact that it was time, the release was time with Dino Ray Ramos. He did an exclusive right, specifically right at the time that we were having this conversation, in a year of a pandemic, in a year of a revitalized Black Lives Matter movement. All of those things happening really added to the importance of this moment in making sure that our communities are heard and we're all coming together for this special moment. The areas where we also, and I'm sure that Franklin can share this too, is that we also became very aware of the best way that we can move forward and the best way we can outreach to a lot of the other specific, the spectrum of representation, intersectionality within even our own community in the U.S. And so I think it's important that this is a really good, I want to claim it as a good win, but I would love to see those pilots being made and the careers of those writers actually being taken off out of this result. So it was a great response, but we would love to multiply that by 100.
I think that's a really
Franklin,
good point.
Franklin,
this has to be viewed as the beginning.
Update us on some of the other list projects that you're doing, what you've done with Women in Film, with Macro, with GLAAD, and so forth. Anything come of those yet in terms of people getting deals? Or response from their from CAPE or GLAAD or other organizations that you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've done sort of similar affinity group lists with the Asian Pacific Islander community, with the LGBTQ plus community via GLAAD, with the disability community, and obviously the Latinx community. And we just announced a partnership focused on the indigenous community with the Sundance Institute and Illuma Natives. The honest answer is that I've sort of lost track of the upside here. You know, I can't cite specific movies that most people would know, but the number of writers who have been included on those lists and have gotten reps or, you know, are in the process of writing things that, you know, you will, you may see on your in your film screens or television screens in the very near future is rather significant. I mean, the reality is that we started doing these lists about 2 years ago, and given the sort of near glacial process by which things come into being in this industry, you got to give us about a year or two before the fruit of that is ready to be picked in screen form. But suffice it to say that there are a large number of writers that have been highlighted on these lists who've seen their careers accelerate rapidly as a consequence of being on them.
Ben, overall, what was the talk at the virtual summit? What were your attendees talking about? Where did they see this television world going?
Well, I think one of the most important subjects that was touched upon is how do we operate and come together as an industry in the face of uncertainty, especially with the pandemic. The second, how do we consolidate the support across the sister organizations to make sure that we're up front and center, specifically on issues such as Black Lives Matter, interconnected with, the civil rights movement in a way that can be translated through the efforts of everything beyond inclusion and belonging. How do we move this industry forward, working together more as a coalition, as opposed to individual movements all trying to do this and taking, over 20 years to accomplish it? I think for us, the other element is that the U.S. Latinx population hasn't really been well known, specifically because a lot of their IP hasn't been bought. The writers haven't really been highlighted. Most people might know Robert Rodriguez and some of the folks in, obviously, showrunners on the television space. But I think that if you actually go by some of the publications, every year you see, the 100 most powerful Latinos. Oh, sorry, 100 most powerful people in Hollywood. There's maybe one or two Latinos there, maybe Lin-Manuel Miranda, maybe Jennifer Lopez, maybe Tony Vizquerra from Sony. I think there's a really systemic change, a tidal wave that's coming that we want to make sure we get behind. We want to make sure that Latinx and BIPOC, folks and are not just in the boardrooms, but also actively being able to get those deals. I think this is a time to really look at the best way that we can advance this together as a community. So the conversations, many of them, even if it had to do with television, film, or documentary, we were discussing the best way to move this content forward, how do we empower those content creators, and also see their success metrics beyond the domestic market for them to see themselves as a global power force that can get success at that level, globally, internationally.
You are hearing Ben Lopez. He is the executive director of the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, and we've got Franklin Leonard, the creator and overseer of The Blacklist. And we're talking about Latina X List, which is the new project that both these organizations and others, including Hulu, are now involved with, and the whole aspect of diversity on television and how projects like this are expanding this field by leaps and bounds. Both of our guests joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you're with us for the latest edition live of the program All About TV's Current and Future. And if you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with Ben and Franklin, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later in our next half hour, we will have our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win two prizes, but you got to be in to win. So stand by. This could be your day that you could win. Franklin, we kick things off with the news note that Colin Kaepernick now has a deal for scripted and unscripted programming with Disney. And by the way, the Disney announcement had Bob Iger, the head of Disney, very much excited about what this partnership might do. We are seeing more and more people of color form production companies. They're forming smart TV programming services to encourage more scripted and unscripted content. What's your sense about the marketplace right now for diversity on television?
I think that the marketplace is probably better than it's ever been. But I think that the real questions that remain are, can we reasonably expect the studios to make film and television that reflects the world as it actually is? Historically, they haven't. They failed sort of in almost every regard in that sense. And will the people that are making that content be the ones who get to decide how it's made? And will they retain some ownership of that content rather than just sort of signing away everything to sort of a corporate partner who then can dictate terms but isn't a part of that community? And I'm frankly very much looking forward to those kinds of changes in the inherent structure of the business, because I think that it also allows us, one, to make the best kind of stuff, but also make the most profitable stuff.
Staying with you, Franklin, we are now almost a year into the era of mega programming services. Beyond, it's not just Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Crackle, but now it's BET Plus, it's Apple TV Plus, it's Disney Plus, which, as I mentioned, did a whale of a number with Hamilton over the weekend. People are talking about it. They're already saying that the film is going to be up for Emmy Awards and Peabody Awards next year. It's like a fait accompli. Thomas Kalee is getting great reviews for his direction of the show. He's showing that, once again, he's one of the best directors when it comes to showcasing musical theater on television. You also have Apple TV Plus. We've got Peacock launching nationally on July 15th, HBO Max and so forth. Are you starting to look at partnerships where you're directly involved with an Apple TV Plus, with a BET Plus, with a Peacock, and HBO, et cetera, in terms of expanding what you can do with The Blacklist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are interested in partnering with any company or organization that can raise the visibility of the writers with whom we work, and, you know, structure themselves in a way that writers will get the credit they are due for the contributions they make to the proverbial value chain of film and television. I think that, unfortunately, for too long, the industry has undervalued writers and their contributions, and so we always look to partner with folks who will value them appropriately.
It seems a lot of these services are making these long-term program development deals, and a lot of them are doing work with people of color. We're seeing a big increase on all these networks in terms of helping these folks launch production companies, like a Colin Kaepernick situation with Disney announced today, or et cetera, et cetera. Ben, one topic I wanted to discuss with you is the whole issue of Spanish language television. I've been covering this medium for 40 years, and it seems that one of the ongoing issues continues to be getting weekly or nightly Spanish language scripted series produced in the United States by U.S. Latino writers, creators, producers, actors, directors, and so forth. And it seems that even though once in a while we get a Betty in Nueva York on Telemundo last year, which did quite well, it seems we're still in square one. Is your organization dealing with that? And if so, how?
Yeah, I think for several years we have seen the tremendous growth of Latin America, especially in the expansion of streaming services now. It's becoming very disruptive. Typically in Latin America, you see one or two channels or, you know, media companies dominating, you know, some, almost a monopoly, you know, taking over all programming. I think with the penetration of Netflix and the deregulation of a lot of the communications acts in all those different countries, there's a little bit more competition. And so it just so happens a lot of the writers that are in those countries have some sort of a standing contract with a lot of the production companies that are there. So now there's a need for writers that might not be under contract, that might come from the U.S., because a lot of that content ends up being broadcast through either Telemundo or through Univision in those agreements that they have with the Televisas of the world and Caracol. And so what we've seen is a really interesting reverse crossover effect where now you have U.S.-based Latinos are starting to write for some series that are going to be obviously produced in Latin America and obviously led by a lot of those media companies, and then they're going to eventually be acquired by for them to be broadcast in the U.S. There's definitely a global movement of expansion. A lot of the priorities have been on continuing to grow those streaming type of services to these markets that have been untapped for so long. I think there's a careful balance for us to make sure that we continue to prioritize the U.S. Latinx population, the writers, producers, and directors, but at the same time prepare them for them to service the global market. So if there's an opportunity for them to write for a Spanish show, for them to go to the European the film market or those television markets and sell their content, I think that's basically the goal. We want to make sure that they see beyond this domestic market. So our job is to be the organization that helps them with workshops, panels, like make sure that we actually help them to match with opportunities out there. We also recommend, we put together lists that are highly curated for a lot of the different studios and the companies, and they're highly vetted, meaning that we have folks that have produced before, and they have vetted this type of projects before, and we feel very confident that a lot of the writers, producers can deliver, and that has provided tremendous result, because now the reputation of the organization sets at a level where even though we're a nonprofit, right, we have over 40,000 supporters and everything, it's now starting to become a driver for that level of conversation and transformative change across the industry. So I think when it comes to Spanish language, a lot of people might just see it local, but no, the growth is opportunity for U.S.-based Latinos to actually now expand out there. And so that's really exciting.
Franklin, before you both go, what's next for the Blacklist in terms of television? Are we going to see some more list projects coming up? And what about, for example, maybe collaborating with projects like Imagine Impact, Dan Lin's Rideback, Sundance's Episodic Lab, which are also trying to, one way or another, cultivate new talent, whether it's through blockchain ventures, whether it's through financing, whether it's through the Y Combinator approach for investment that some of these folks are doing. Where do you see the Blacklist going when it comes to television ventures?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that we have a long relationship with Sundance. I've been a long-time admirer of what they do. You know, I've known Dan and Brian since early in my career, and I think, you know, I applaud what they seem to be trying to do with their incubators. I just very simply think that we do it better with higher impact and have a longer track record of doing so. So, you know, look, I think that there needs to be many of these programs, right? Like opportunities to reach outside of New York and Los Angeles, identify talent and bring them into the industry and set them up for success, both with their understanding of how the industry works and develop the skills that are necessary for them to have long-term sustainable careers. the one thing that I would say is in the organization of these things, and the way the Blacklist has always approached organizing them is not having our hands in people's pockets, right? If you upload your script to the Blacklist and you're included on the Latinx list, you don't owe the Blacklist anything. We will get involved in some projects. We'll come to you and say, hey, we'd like to be involved in producing this. We think it's great. Here's what we bring to the table. And if you're not interested in that, we will cheer from you from the sidelines. Fortunately, what we bring to the table is relatively significant in terms of reputation and process and involvement of the writer. But the most important thing for us is, can we be an organization that identifies and celebrates great screenwriting wherever it exists, and especially in places where historically the industry has done a bad job of finding that talent? And we all know where those communities are. And frankly, you know, we figured out how to address that issue in a way that no one else did. And I look forward to building on top of that and making, making more things that are born of good scripts. The best way to celebrate a great screenplay is to get it made with the involvement of the writer.
If you want to know more about Latinx List and also about what NALIP is doing, here's where you go online, www.nalip.org. That's www.nalip.org. That stands for the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, one of the key organizations with the Blacklist, with Hulu, and with others in the Latinx List. And I just want to let you know that when Hulu picks whatever scripts they will use to develop the TV shows, we would love to have the writers, the winning writers, on our program. No questions asked. And for more details about the Blacklist and what Franklin's wonderful organization is up to and all the different projects they're working on, whether it's with Macro, Women in Film LA, GLAAD, etc., here's where you go online. It's blacklist.com. It's B-L-C-K-I-S-T, blacklist.com. Ben Lopez from NALIP, thank you so much again for being on. Congratulations on the Latinx List. Like I said, we would love to have the winners on our program. Congratulations for Hulu to getting involved as well as the other organizations. And Franklin, thank you very, very much for coming on our show for the very first time. I hope that we can have more relationship with you. And I want you to know that any of the list winners from all the projects you're doing, they are welcome on this program once they get a deal to get on the air with their series. Please let them know they have an open invite to come on this program. And it has been a terrific treat to have you on.
Absolute pleasure.
All right, Ben and Franklin, thank you so much. Enjoy the week. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Ben Lopez from NALIP, Franklin Leonard from The Blacklist, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, localish from the ABC owned television stations, there's a brand new series about living large. It's called Plus Life. You'll meet the executive producers. Plus, our classic trivia question of the week. We got two prizes in store for you. So get your pad and whatever ready, because you might just have today be your winning day. We'll get to that. Plus, at the top of the hour, David Goldberg from the hit new ABC game show, Don't. All that coming your way, but first we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, tunein.com. Together, reaching more than 45 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the coronavirus news channel. Stay in touch with what the pandemic is up to across the country and around the world. All sorts of special reporting, plus original podcasts and other material. The coronavirus news channel operates 24/7. TuneIn Radio at tunein.com. When we come back, Brent Zaki and Mike Spear from Plus Life on Localish, they will join us live from Los Angeles. We're going to pause for a couple of seconds, bring them on, and then we'll be right back. Tomorrow be televised, 90th edition, kicking off your week right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 94 very humid degrees. It's the hottest day of the year so far in New York. Happy you are with us. You have questions or comments for our next guest, give a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A few months ago, we introduced you to a project from the ABC-owned local stations called Localish. It's a very unique cultivation of material gathered by the ABC-owned TV stations and other sources. It runs on stations in New York, like WABC-TV here, KABC in Los Angeles, WChicago, etc., on multicast channels, and other markets on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. This coming Sunday, Localish will present its newest program. It's called Plus Life. And here to talk about it from Los Angeles are its executive producers, Brent Zaki and Mike Spear. Brent and Mike, welcome in.
Thank you so much
for having us. Pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you both on. And Brent, we'll start with you. How did Plus Life happen?
So Plus Life began as a collaboration between me, myself, Mike, and Carl Schmidt, who's the host of the show, and also a partner and executive producer. It all started as a digital brand all about living your best life with HIV and bringing the conversation about HIV to the mainstream and talking about ending HIV stigma. Carl is an on-air reporter at KABC in Los Angeles, and he revealed his status publicly a couple of years ago. And the response was so incredible, and yet there was a lot that Mike and I, for instance, didn't know, even though we were good friends, about the disease. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to educate people and inspire people to live their best lives? And then out of that grew a show that has a wider aperture that is now going to premiere on Localish.
So how long has Plus Life been around before it was picked up by Localish?
So we just launched September 1st. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So yeah, we launched on September 1st of last year. Apologies. And we've been working on the digital brand. We have shows on the digital platform, a Plus Life talk show. We have Ask the Doctor with Dr. Anu Seshadri. We have episodes about love and relationships and about working out and being fit and taking care of yourself. So it only made sense for us when we brought it to TV to kind of keep each of those segments, but like I said, speaking to a broader audience.
Mike, you obviously had a lot of material, and the subject matter is so rich in terms of how you deal with not only living your best life, as Oprah would say, but also dealing with it and dealing powerfully with HIV and AIDS. And incidentally, it is still both are still around, although it's we now have treatments, we now have ways that that both can be lived with, let's say. How do you determine, like, what subjects to cover? How do all three of you determine what subjects to cover and what's, like, top of mind?
So I feel like what we do is, and I will preface this by saying that the digital platform Plus Life we initially launched, that is more narrowly focused on HIV and living with HIV and kind of educating and entertaining around that. Whereas the Localist show, as Brent said, is more about living your best life. So what we do is we meet all the time. I mean, you know, we're talking, Carl, Brent, and myself, pretty much daily. And what we do is we talk about really what are inspiring stories. What are stories or news items that we think people need to know about? So whereas on digital, we may put up a news story for the TV show. If we see that somebody is really fascinating, if they're doing something and they're living their best life, if they are under quarantine, have figured out a way to kind of bring in their clientele and make them feel better about themselves by doing yoga or doing Pilates, or if they're a chef that's had to change their business model. We just featured an HIV-positive chef who had a catering company. It got hit pretty hard. So he decided to kind of pivot and start doing in-home meal planning and meals for people. That's someone that we want to feature because not only is he living with HIV, but he's also giving back to the community. He's a force for good, and he's showcasing, you know, just how to live in this new normal. And so we really look for things that are going to stand out and be inspiring to people, but also entertaining.
Plus Life is the latest new series to run on Localish. That is the multicast channel that was started by the ABC-owned television stations here in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and elsewhere. It is also running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the country. Now, Plus Life will be starting on Sunday. You have to check your local listings for when it will be running, depending on how you get the service, either on smart TV sets or on a multicast channel. It's available either on digital signal of a television station or on cable. And I understand that the series is going to be running several times on Sunday on its premiere day. We are speaking with the executive producers behind the series, Brent Zaki and Mike Spire, and they're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this Monday. I hope you had a great Independence Day weekend and ready to go for this coming week. By the way, here in New York, we are now in phase 3 of our recovery plan. Hopefully, 2 weeks from now, TV and film production will be allowed to resume here in and around the Big Apple. And we'll keep you posted over these next 2 weeks to see how that is going. If you have a question or comment for Brent and Mike, make a call. We'd love to hear you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Brent, I understand that the episodes were produced while the pandemic has been going on for the last couple of months. What kind of challenges did both of you have in terms of getting the episodes together?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, we were prepared to shoot a traditional TV show. But as soon as the pandemic hit, we'd been lucky in terms of, since the beginning of the year, for our digital talk show, we had begun to do interviews with people from around the country and from around the world. And so we were well placed in terms of technology. So we had the ability to bring in one channel in terms of broadcast quality. We quickly escalated it and bought equipment that first week. And I can tell you, equipment started being so difficult to find and was back ordered. But I think because we got in early, we got it pretty quickly. And now, actually, in my den, I have what's essentially a broadcast studio. So what we do is we have all of our subjects call in via Skype to our studio, where we can interconnect people, we can have IFBs with people, and we can actually shoot multi-camera shoots with them as well if they call in with more than one device.
And has the coronavirus pandemic and how your subjects are dealing with, has that become as much of a theme in these segments as dealing with HIV, dealing with AIDS?
Absolutely. I would say that, like I said, the TV show is well beyond just HIV and AIDS. It's really about living your best life overall, but every single person has been impacted. So what you see is most of our subjects are in their homes. So we have chefs that are sharing cooking tips and recipes. They're doing it from their home kitchen. We have a fitness experts who are doing it from their home. And in fact, our fitness correspondent, who would normally be going out to do a package with somebody, is in his home. So they're both on at the same time, talking to each other and demonstrating what they're doing for the viewing audience. And it definitely weighs on everyone's mind, because not just in terms of when their livelihood will come back, but how we're going to pass the time that we, you know, have at home and make it more enjoyable, or as enjoyable as you can.
Mike, have you been able to get ideas or tips from any of the ABC stations, and have they been a help in terms of finding subjects or subject matter?
You know, it's interesting. We haven't really looked to them as far as getting talent. They've really said to us, we like what you guys are doing, and we really feel like you're on the right path. So they've really given us the freedom to go ahead and kind of find that. However, I will say that they have been very helpful with what they've been doing. You know, we did a Pride piece for LA Pride, which just celebrated 50 years. And ABC really said, we want you guys to be a part of this. And so we produced a piece for that, as well as helping get Erasure to do a little performance. We helped make that happen. And so ABC has been, you know, lockstep with us the whole time, as far as not only promoting the network, but really being a champion of this network, because they saw what we were doing digitally online, and they really wanted to help bring that, you know, to television, to their network, to their platforms. So although we don't look necessarily to say, hey, who do you think we should talk to talent-wise, they're very helpful. And I'm sure that had we come to them, or if we come to them and say, hey, we need help with this, that they'd definitely be willing to do that, especially with people who are in the ABC family, because we do feature celebrity interviews and, you know, and other folks of that ilk.
Brent, have you been able to do segments away from Los Angeles or the Los Angeles area, or because of the situation with the pandemic, you were pretty much confined to subjects based in L.A.?
Actually, I have to say, because of the pandemic, it's probably been more liberating the way that we've produced it. We've had guests from as far away as London. I believe it was Montreal in Canada, definitely Canada. I'm not sure if it was Montreal. We've had people all across the country. So, yeah, so it's been really terrific in that sense, that we really have gone, in a way, very local to each locality to find things that are unique.
Mm-hmm. Mike, who are some of the subjects you cover in the first couple of episodes, starting with the one on Sunday?
So, and Brent, you're going to have to remind me in case I forget. In the first episode, we are featuring Andrew Bell from Erasure, who's pretty unbelievable. Who's our workout person on that first one?
Is that Marvin?
I'm trying to remember right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Marvin Tell, who's a single father. Yeah, who started as a, you know, he started as a one-on-one trainer and then really got hit hard with the pandemic. So we work out with him. We have somebody who's going ahead and teaching us how to make an amazing meal, a local chef. Like I said, it finishes with Andrew Bell. The next one, we have someone named Sharon Ross, who is teaching you how to do Pilates at home with our fitness guru, Rafe DeRozzi. We have also in the first one, the Olivia Hope Foundation, which we feature, which is a mother who went ahead and fulfilled her daughter's wish, her daughter who had passed away from cancer at a very young age. And so she started a foundation in honor of her. And then we have Chris Cafaro, who's a music and celebrity photographer. He's featured in the second one as well. And then we try and do chef, you know, or at-home cooking in each episode so that, you know, when you're staying home, you can kind of learn how to do something fun and new with the family. And I think that rounds out pretty much what we have for the first two episodes.
Is that what your audience, for what you've done digitally, has been telling you? Like, give us a lot of things we, particularly in the light of this pandemic, things we can do at home, things we can do with others, whether it's cooking or needlepoint or hobbies, things like that.
Yeah, and actually, we, you know, we do listen to a lot of our folks on social media, and we have seen that, you know, what people kind of, I guess, what resonates with them. So definitely. Online, we noticed that a lot of people were really into our COVID coverage. We started doing a lot of pieces on COVID-19 and whatnot, and they started responding really well to that. And then we started getting feedback about liking a lot of the workout segments we were doing, which we called Plus Fun, and some other different segments. So, yes, we started getting feedback. And we started also getting feedback in some of our segments about people's frustration with being at home and how do they handle the whole mental health element and aspect of being at home. And so we really tailored this show to saying, okay, we all know that we're at home right now. At the time when we started producing, the stay-at-home orders were a little bit tighter. So we said, what can you do to kind of get you out of feeling like you're trapped? So what can we do? We can introduce you to an amazing chef. You can sit and watch an amazing interview with a celebrity or a musician or personality like Moby or Fran Drescher that you may be interested in. And we can also teach you how to do something healthy for yourself, whether it's Pilates or yoga or weights or doing something. And they're all tailored to things that you can do at home that make it pretty simple so that it kind of takes you out of maybe the day-to-day anxiety or stress you may be facing.
By the way, is it your understanding, both of you, that this may be the first localist series that is being produced outside of ABC by an independent company?
That is our understanding, correct. And we're obviously
yes.
Honored and pleased to be able to carry that banner.
I had a hunch because we've been covering localish for the last few months. I'll tell, and by the way, for all of our audience, back in February, we did an exclusive interview with Wendy McMahon, the head of the ABC-owned television stations, and we did a Media Village column on localish as well, and we'll tell you how you can get the copy, to listen to that episode as well as catch that story, which is in MediaVillage.com a little bit later on. Anyway, we are speaking with the producers of Plus Life. It is the newest original series on localish. That is the programming service that was kicked off by the ABC-owned television stations. It is available in their markets as a multicast channel, either on the digital signal of a television station or as a cable channel or both. And it is also running in other places around the country as a smart TV programming service on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. Remember that the series, depending on the date, is premiering on Sunday, various times throughout the day, depending on where you are. And we've got the two executive producers behind the program. That's Brent Zaki and Mike Spear, and they are both joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Abba, I'm with you live from New Everywhere. Thank you again for joining us. If you have a question or comment on our remaining moments with Brent and Mike, well, you know what to do. Call in 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Classic trivia question coming up before the top of the hour, so get ready with your pen and pad because you might win A Very English Scandal by John Preston. That's the book that inspired the great acclaimed miniseries of last year with Hugh Grant. And also, we have some Nat Geo Wild episodes called Fish Tank Kings coming your way on CD. So get ready. You could win those two prizes if you know the answer to our classic trivia question. That's coming up in a little bit. Brent and Mike, what are some of the topics that you want to cover on future episodes?
Brent, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think health is a big one for us. I will tell you online, we have our resident doctor, Dr. Anusha Chaudhary, who is very popular in her coverage, obviously, of COVID-19, has been doing extraordinarily well. I think people are looking for, you know, honest and direct information from someone they can trust, and she seems to be that person for a lot of people. So I think really looking at medical things, I think also people put off a lot of visits to the doctor, and I think trying to figure out when's the right moment to go in, when can you wait, that type of thing is really important to learn. And I also think as we start, I guess, getting back out of the quarantine, because it seems like in California it's tightening again, how to safely do so, how to slowly and safely expand your circle and make sure that you stay safe. I think that very much speaks to the time we're in, and it seems like the time we're going to be in for a while to come.
I also, I think,
way,
want to get into...
By the way, are you still producing episodes, or are you waiting until you get more clarity from the governmental powers that be, both city and state, in terms of getting more episodes produced?
We're full forward. We're still producing as we speak, and we have basically an overwhelming amount of people submitting all the time. And so we continue to produce episodes.
Mike, you're out in L.A. We sort of have a mixed picture in terms of TV production coming back, both scripted and unscripted. We know that the soap operas are now starting to rev up. We know that NBC is producing some shows now, including America's Got Talent. We think some other ones are going to rev up soon, but we're still getting mixed signals from Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., as well as Governor Gavin Newsom of California. What's your sense among you and your fellow producers about what's going on in terms of getting TV production back in your state and your city?
Well, I know that
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
No problem. I think everyone's hoping that we could do so safely. For us, at least on Plus Life, I feel like it's not really that big of a deal at this point, because we've pretty much figured out how to make the show look great, how to bring in people from all different areas of the country and even internationally in some cases, and still produce a really good show, which we think resonates with our viewers. As far as everyone else, you know, because so much of the state relies on that income and those people rely on working, we hope it comes back. I just, you know, it's a team sport, television or movies, entertainment. And so, you know, I would hope that whatever way we can start coming back would be safe, so it doesn't put anyone in jeopardy. But there are so many people that are tied to this industry in one way or another, so we would like it to come back, and the state really generates a lot of money from it. But, you know, what you don't want to do is come back too early and then make it even worse for everybody and have people being sick, losing their lives, or, you know, whatever else comes with having restarted too early.
Yeah. By the way, how many episodes are you doing for this first batch for Localish?
26.
Mm-hmm. And so where are you at in the production process? How many have you completed? How many have to go?
We've completed four episodes. Yeah, we have four episodes have completed. Perhaps it's a little – so we have four and then 11 about to be complete. We just did a partnership with AIDS 2020 Virtual, which is the largest conference on AIDS and HIV on the planet, and we're partnering with them to bring some content for them to air. So some of those may become episodes of Localish as well, which makes it 11. In terms of actual production, I think we're up to probably about 15 episodes worth of material that's going through our process right now. And, you know, everyone's working out of their own environments right now to stay safe. So really communication has become more important than ever.
No matter where people are watching the program starting Sunday, what do you hope that the audience gets? If there's a main message, what would you like them to get from what you're doing?
I think that the main message of the show is to live the best life you can, to find joy in everyday things that you may take for granted, you know, whether it's cooking, whether it's simply movement. You know, a lot of our exercises are really just about using sound time throughout the day to do small movements that will make you feel better in the long run. And it's not just a show that kind of it sounds like a little bit of like we're trying to give you medicine, you know what I mean? Trying to like tell you what to do. We're not. It's a really entertaining show, and our guests are all really full energy and fun to be around. And I think if you watch it and you walk away feeling happier at the end of it, and maybe inspired to do a little something for yourself and those around you, then we've won.
The first episode of Plus Life premieres this Sunday on Localish. If you're involved in, if you're coming from New York or Chicago, any of the places where ABC has an own television station, like WABC-TV here in New York, you can get Localish either as a digital signal of your television station or as a multicast channel available also on cable. In other markets, it's available on a smart TV set or smart TV device. For more details about the network and about the program, here's where you go online, localish.com. That's localish.com. And if you want more information on Plus Life and on the subjects covered on the program, here's another website you can go to. It was referenced earlier in the conversation. It's pluslifemedia.com. That's pluslifemedia.com, operational 24/7. And once again on Sunday, the program may be running, depending on where you are, more than once in different time zones, in different time slots. So make sure that you check your local listings, not only for how you get Localish, but also when you can exactly see the opening episode of Plus Life, which will be on every week on Sundays. Brent, Mike, thank you both very much for coming on. Good luck with this series, and hopefully this will also be the prelude of more independent producers doing more for Localish.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you having
us. You're very welcome, Brent and Mike. Take care. Enjoy.
Take care. You too.
Brent Zaki and Mike Spear, executive producers of Plus Life on Localish, joining us live from Los Angeles. And once again, if you'd like to hear the interview that we did a couple of months back with Wendy McMahon, the president of the ABC owned television stations, which put Localish together, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's also available on our podcast sites, iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, tunein.com, and iHeartRadio.com on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You can also go to MediaVillage.com for a story, a column I put together about Localish and what ABC-owned TV stations are going to be doing with that and other projects as well that they cultivate. So go to MediaVillage.com and get that column and hopefully enjoy. And I believe we also put the Wendy McMahon interview also at MediaVillage.com, so catch it when you can. Coming up, our classic trivia question of the week, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you checked out Trevor Noah's wonderful book, Born a Crime? It's a terrific book from the host of The Daily Show. And the great news is, if you haven't read it, you can hear it for yourself. How? Through a trial run with Audible.com. If you get a trial run this month with Audible.com, you not only get your choice of one of 200,000 titles to choose from, but you also get special wellness and fitness material and your choice of newspapers you can get on a regular basis. It's all part of a trial run, one-month trial with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much so, inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from at any one time, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio. And all it takes is to just go to audibletrial.com/televised and sign up. You get one free audiobook of your choice. It can be a great title like Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, or it can be one of the growing number of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. Plus, you get special wellness and fitness material that you can use anytime, and your choice of U.S. newspapers to get on a regular basis. Plus, you get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So how about making this the week that you have Audible.com transform the way you hear the world or someone you love? Remember, for that free trial run, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week that we're running the question. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer, you'll win the best-selling book, A Very English Scandal by John Preston. That's the book that inspired the award-winning miniseries starring Hugh Grant that was on last year. Plus, we've got a CD with three episodes of Fish Tank Kings, the popular program on Nat Geo Wild. Here's the question. Name the first television series executive produced by Greg Berlanti. He's got like 20-plus TV series on the air or soon to happen. By the way, Stargirl, which is one of the series he did for DC Universe and CW, just got the second season today on the CW starting in 2021. But we want to know what the first TV series he did back in the 1990s. Give you a couple of hints. One, two-word title. Two, it was on one of the networks that became, ultimately, the CW. Again, the question, name the first TV series executive produced by Greg Berlanti. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name That's your full name and your full mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll see if we can do it again before we leave you at around 4:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Pacific. And if not, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at my handle at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved. Play today and all the very best. And if you won before, let somebody else win, okay? More the merrier. So play or let somebody you know play. They'll be thanking you for it. And, of course, to everybody, all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We have the program All About the Tube. And when we come back, we will have the executive producer of the new hit ABC game show, Don't. The doer, in this case, is David Goldberg. And he will be with us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Together, over 45 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker, your home for the Hilton Radio Show. Check it out. I should say the Hilltop Radio Show. That's the Hilltop Radio Show. Check it out today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Great music, conversation, a whole lot more. The Hilltop Radio Show, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, today or tonight, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. We're going to take a moment pause for a second, and when we come back, David Goldberg from Don't is with us for sure. That's ABC's new game show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. David Goldberg is next. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour in our what is our usual time slot, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, York, 94 hot degrees at the top of the hour. Looks like we may have our first heat wave of the summer before this week is out, and we're delighted to have you with us. We were on an hour earlier than normal because of a very special first segment dealing with the Latinx list. It's a very exciting project involving the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, the Blacklist, the famous Screenwriters Marketplace, and Hulu and other people as well. And if you missed that part, well, we hope that you tune in on replay at blogtalkradio.com/televised. We will post the episode a few minutes after we go off the air at the bottom of the hour, or check us out on podcast. We'll tell you more about that before we sign off for today. We have another great guest coming your way over this half hour, so stay tuned and be involved with the action. How do you do that? You give a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Chat room is still open for your thoughts, so make it happen. SimonApple04, and you'll find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. ABC is having another great summer of game shows. Their summer fun and games keeps on expanding, and it seems that every new show they do, it becomes a winner. The latest one premiered a few weeks ago. It's called Don't. It comes to the mind of actor and entrepreneur Ryan Reynolds, and it's very simple. It's about contestants who are told very simply, don't do this, don't do that, and they find that it's harder to don't than to do. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, executive producer David Goldberg. David, congratulations. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Simon. I'm happy to be here.
How are things going? What's been the reaction from the audience to your show?
Well, I guess you just follow the ratings, and that's how you get your scorecard or your report each week. And so far, so good.
How did Ryan come up with this idea of a really larger-than-life game show where the contestants are basically told, as long as you don't do something, you win money?
Well, it was something that we were playing around with for some time. What you try to do, or at least what we try to do, is to come up with shows that are somehow a reflection of the time or different than what everybody else is doing. It's sort of been the story of our development over the years, which for me dates back to my time at Endemol, where we did shows like Fear Factor and Wipeout and Extreme Makeover: Home Edition and things like that. So we were really just sort of trying to come up with a show that was physical in nature, that had game elements, but wasn't just kind of like everything else that was on the air. And that's no knock to those shows because, you know, many of them have been very successful, but it just becomes a time where you just can't sell more of the same thing. And so we were playing around with this idea of, you know, a simple idea, which is just, you know, making people not do something that is kind of hard for them not to do. And, you know, in this day and age, often when you come up with original ideas that haven't been made before, it's very helpful to include, you know, somebody that, you know, has a certain degree of celebrity. And in the case of Ryan, you know, he has that, but he also has sort of a playful, sarcastic, witty sensibility. And so we went to him sort of very, very, very early on in the talks we were having about this show. And we were, you know, obviously thrilled and pleasantly surprised that it's, you know, the kind of the one-liner of it is something that he really took to. And while, you know, many of these shows you do with celebrity, you know, participation, they almost become sort of vanity projects where, you know, you're not getting a whole lot from people. I mean, that's certainly not always the case. But in Ryan's situation, it was anything but. And he and his team at Maximum Effort were very, very involved in helping us, you know, develop this and sell this. And then, you know, as you know, he participates in the show as well.
I was reading the press release that ABC came out with when this show was originally announced. And in it, it sounded from you, in a quote, that you feel this is more, while it might, some parts of the game might look more like physical challenges, that really the essence of the game is, as you called it, a reset of the brain. Explain that.
Well, you know, it's really, the whole show is really a subversion of a traditional kind of talk show and stunt show. And what Ryan and what we sort of set out to do was to, for this to look and feel and play in many ways like something your mind is familiar with, but to layer in elements and bits that certainly made it feel and in practice be kind of a new type of show. So that's really what that was referring to.
And how do once you and Ryan and your fellow producers decided we're going through with this, we're going to make this happen with Banjay, which, by the way, has become a major player now in television because of the deal it just made with Endemol Shine last week. What was the easiest thing to put together and what was the toughest to put the format together?
Well, I think that, you know, the toughest, because this show sort of, you know, whenever you create a new format, something that's never been done before, you know, you kind of think you know going into it what you want it to be. And, you know, that, you know, sort of invariably turns into something different as, you know, you go through the process. But I think that, you know, the first step was to come up with these challenges, which, you know, the contestants would play, and to have them sort of, fit into this whole notion of not doing something. So that all starts, you know, literally as, you know, multiple sketches of things you think may work for the show. And I think that, you know, that was really sort of the hardest and challenging part in terms of like coming up with something that you could then go out with. And so that a network would say, okay, I get the premise, but now I understand exactly what people would be doing. But then we had the added sort of challenge of figuring out what the comedic sensibility would be, what the sort of subversive elements would be. And then, you know, how Ryan would actually participate in the show. And it was actually quite interesting that when we were, you know, we went around and obviously, you know, we pitched it to all the networks and all the network presidents, you know, came because of the auspices. And it was in the meeting, you know, we thought that, you know, Ryan would make sort of, you know, an appearance in the show here and there, but we really hadn't figured out exactly what it was or agreed to what it would be. And in one of the meetings, Ryan just, you know, sort of out of the blue said, you know, I could be the voiceover for this entire show. And and everybody lit up. And of course, that's what he ended up doing. And then we had to kind of figure out, you know, what that actually would be. And, you know, if you watch Don't, that you can see the end result.
We're talking with David Goldberg. He is one of the executive producers of Don't, the big new hit game show on ABC Thursday nights at 9 p.m. East Pacific time. It comes on after Holy Moly. It comes on before To Tell the Truth. David joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Delia, you're with us on a Monday afternoon of July 2020. We are a month away from wrapping up our 13th year on the air, and next month we go into year 14, full guns blazing. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 94 hot degrees here in the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment for David, make the call and get that voice going. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 1 week from today, at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you'll meet two women directors who are doing some big things. The first one is someone who is doing the first two episodes of Cursed. That's the brand-new Netflix series based on the work of the brilliant Frank Miller. Her name is Zetra Fuentes, and I think you'll enjoy hearing what she has to do to get the show going in the right direction. And then, rejoining us for the first time in several years, is a person that you used to know as one of the co-stars of Star Trek Voyager. She decided to turn her career from being an actress to being a director, and she's become one of the very best in episodic television. Her credits currently include This Is Us on NBC, and more recently, acclaimed episode of the Showtime series, Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. Roxanne Dawson will be joining me, along with Zetra Fuentes, next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. David, one of the elements, a big element of this show, is coming up with all the different challenges. It's like doing the pricing games for The Price is Right, and it's like a science in terms of how you come up with the individual challenges and also how you rotate them, where you place them in the game. Do you bring this one first? Do you wait another week to do this, et cetera, forth? How did you come up with, your team come up with a formula for the challenges and how they're used?
Well, you know, we employ a lot of twisted minds is, you know, where we kind of begin. And we also, you know, we did a show many, many years ago called Wipeout, which, you know, I understand is coming back. And so
come on TBS, that's correct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's actually, you know, part of the End Them All. Now we'll be part of the Banerjee group, which, you know, went, as you mentioned earlier, went through. But I, you know, we developed and sold and produced that show for many years. And so when we were trying to figure out the challenges for Don't, you know, we enlisted some of the people that had helped us with that show. And like I said, it really just sort of starts out just on a piece of paper, you know, drawing out stunts and then trying to figure out how they would sort of, you know, work within of the show. And it, you know, there were simple things like, you know, don't blink, which is pretty easy. And there were, you know, don't drink if you're eating, you know, something that's incredibly hot, to, you know, like an Indiana Jones ball barreling down a mountain and you're not supposed to look back, but of course you will, and try to get a certain, you know, amount of distance. You know, so it was just really brainstorming, sketching, coming up with ideas, and then trying to figure out how you would kind of make them quantifiable. In terms of, you know, the order and all that stuff, I mean, I have to say, you know, it's often the case when you do these shows for the first time, you're just doing everything you can just to get through it. And then you sit back when it's done and you take a deep breath and you sort of say, okay, here's what we did right. Here's what we did wrong. And obviously, we did some things right, we did some things wrong, and then you hope to get a second season and you can make it even better.
How, by the way, how does your game show experience, you know, having done so many things from Endemol like Wipeout, how did that help you in terms of getting the program on, once you got the format, once you get the obstacles, once you get the different challenges, getting it on the air? And I asked this because a few weeks ago, we had Mike Richards, the executive producer of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the revival with Jimmy Kimmel. And the big, you know, thing he had to deal with was that he had to produce the show amid the coronavirus pandemic. He could not do an audience. There's no studio audience there. Did you have a similar situation, by the way, with Don't, where you could not have a studio audience?
No. This show has been was produced some time ago, and it's been in the edit phase for many, many months. In fact, I would say, half of it was done remotely, which, is pretty difficult. And my hat is off to, all the editors and producers that oversaw that. I mean, I haven't actually seen a colleague or an employee of mine in person for going on 3 or 4 months now. So this is everything that we shot the show, and then, a lot of it took place in isolation. So it's even more miraculous that we were able to pull it off. But, and then moving forward, obviously the challenge is with not just with this show, but every other show we do, is how do you make it and how do you get it done? Under this, these horrible circumstances we're in, and not make it look like a Zoom production. So I think we have come up with lots of ways to do that. I think every show has a different challenge and, different requirements. And that's, that's how we're approaching everything at this point.
One of the keys, I think, to any game show, of course, is the host. And you've got somebody that is fairly new to the genre. Talk about him and what he brought to the role, and what had you think this is the person exactly for the kind of show we're doing.
Well, it's you never know if it's the perfect person for any show. I mean, look, I I've always sort of put a high degree of emphasis on who the host of your show will be. And it goes back to, we put Joe Rogan on Fear Factor, and that was a real kind of, at the time, seemed like a bizarre choice. A guy that was doing sitcoms and had a stand-up career, but he absolutely just knocked it out of the park and was perfect for it. We did Deal or No Deal, and, we ended up with Howie Mandel, who, when I look back at it, couldn't have been a better choice, but, he was one of the last guys we talked to. So you never quite know, but I think that what we really liked about Adam is that since the show isn't sort of designed to be a typical, game show, if you will, we didn't want, a typical host or one that you would associate with a game show. And so, obviously, Adam's had a very successful acting career. He was on Parks and Rec, which was, kind of an offbeat, witty, sarcastic show. And just, I think the fact, anytime you can get somebody that is an actor, that also helps when you're trying to do something beyond just a standard game show. If you've seen the show, there are also a lot of sort of sketch bits and mockumentary type things. So I think his skill set and his sensibility ended up kind of being perfect for the show. And we love the job he does.
What's interesting, by the way, and I'm a big game show, people who listen to the show know I'm a big game show fan, is that we seem to be in this cycle of actors hosting and in some cases producing the game show. You have Elizabeth Banks doing a great job with Press Your Luck. You have Joel McHale with Card Sharks, Adam with your program, Anthony Anderson with To Tell the Truth. Before we had the comedians with Steve Harvey, with Family Feud, so on and so forth. and it seems now, and Alec Baldwin, I should say, also with Match Game. It just seems that we're now in the actor cycle. Leslie Banks coming up with a Supermarket Sweep, which is going to get a big test on ABC this fall, along with another season of Millionaire with Jimmy Kimmel. So there's it seems that actors are now in vogue this time around, the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the result of multiple factors and not just one. I think that, you know, there was a time when hosting a game show had a bit of a stigma, and you know, for an actor, and I think, you know, it finally, you know, they also then started becoming big prime time events. You know, there was somebody breaks the barrier and says, you know, I'm going to do it, and then it makes it okay for everybody else to do. There's also been a huge push in getting celebrities involved in television programming as a whole, not just related to the game shows. And you can understand why. It's it gives a show a marketing platform, you know, it which is really, you know, incredibly important in this day and age when you're trying to sort of cut through all the clutter, and you know, you got somebody with 80 million, you know, Twitter followers. And so it just becomes a better way to market a show. I think then, you know, the networks then demonstrate a willingness to pay, you know, a lot of money for these people. And I think also, you know, there's a shooting or a calendar associated with game shows, which make them, you know, very, very easy to they're not easy to execute, but you can produce them in bulk so that, you know, rather than have to, you know, spend a week on an episode, you can produce 3 or 4 episodes in a day, and you're still getting paid the same episodic fee as you would from a sitcom or a drama. So there's a real, you know, economy of time and a lot of money to be made. And I think the last thing is, what I have found is that, you know, like yourself, a lot of people, and actors are not excluded, have a real affinity for game shows, and it was part of their childhood, and they remember them as kids. And I think secretly they've sort of said, boy, it would be kind of cool to host a game show. And so I think, you know, it's the confluence of all those different situations that have resulted in what we're seeing today.
Yeah. I mean, you hear it from Elizabeth Banks all the time. The Pressure Luck was her favorite game show. Michael Strahan, he loved Pyramid, which he's done very well, although Pyramid is not on right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. Hopefully we'll be back not too far down the road and so on. Before we leave, you're not only one of the key executive producers of Don't, you're also the president and chief executive of the North American Division of Banji. What do you think about the new horizon that's open for you with the merger with Endemol Shine, and what are some of the projects that you're working on for down the road?
Well, you know, it's particularly interesting to me because, you know, I was hired in, I'm dating myself, but I was hired to launch the North American Endemol business by John DeMol back in 2000. So I stayed with that company for about 14 years before leaving to go start, you know, the Banijay company in the U.S. Hopefully that I'll never have to do anything like that again. So I have sort of an interesting perspective and insight into this merger. In fact, you know, many of my bosses and colleagues went from Endemol. In fact, you know, Stéphane Corbie, who is the chairman of Banijay, was prior to that was he ran Endemol France, and Marco Bassetti, who is the CEO of Banijay, used to run Endemol Italy. So I you know, it's a very familiar, you know, how it will. I mean, certainly it gives us a lot of leverage, and it gives us a very significant position worldwide in terms of production and distribution. It'll be interesting to see how it transforms. I think that the companies, you know, unlike some mergers that you see, the companies are very, very similar and have, as I said, you know, they have DNA that's shared. So I don't think that, you know, it will be a tough merger. But, you know, anytime you go from being made up of, you know, 20 or 30 companies to 120 some odd companies worldwide, obviously there's going to be some figuring out to do. But I think, you know, safe to say we're all really excited about it and think that, you know, the possibilities are limitless. It's and we have great leaders, great creative, you know, colleagues. So yeah, I think it should be very good.
The name of the game show is Don't, and you can catch it this Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. It comes on right after Holy Moly, and it comes on right before Anthony Anderson hosting To Tell the Truth. Check your local listings for the ABC station in your area. For more details about the promo online, go to abc.com or abcgo.com. That's Don't from Ryan Reynolds and Van Jay. That's on ABC this Thursday night. And every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. David Goldberg from Banjay and from Don't, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the merger. Congratulations on how the show is going so far. And hopefully a wonderful, not only a wonderful long run for this series, but hopefully now with this new merger, a great new opening for wonderful entertainment from your organization.
Well, thank you, Simon. It was for having me on. It was a pleasure to be here. And be well and be safe and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate it. And you and everybody at your organization, all the greatest. Stay safe. Live powerfully. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
David Goldberg from Banjay and from Don't joining us live from Los Angeles. Thank you to all of our guests for being with us today and all of you for tuning in. We're back at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific on Friday. And coming up next Monday, we will have two outstanding episodic TV directors from the new Netflix series, Cursed, director Zetra Fuentes. And from, among other things, This Is Us on NBC and Penny Dreadful, City of Angels on Showtime, Roxanne Dawson. You came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker, the Spreaker podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. And check out MediaVillage.com for a wonderful article by Charlene Weiser, who was one of our guests 2 weeks ago with Mark Berman on our special roundtable hour that we did 2 weeks ago. That's at www.MediaVillage.com. We'd love to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. However you communicate with us, we appreciate it because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Marilyn. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. The co-founders are Alan Levy and Bob Chowrish. Tomorrow we televise is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For the 1 month trial and free audiobook, it's audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We're back Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to the rest of this week, please make it safe, make it great, and let's lick this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.